I am so tired of hearing "that's racist" coming out of the mouth of an upper middle class, single degree holding midwit who works on the lower rungs of British broadcasting. You know exactly the kind of snivelling weasel I'm talking about. The insufferably smug prat who thinks that by calling you a racist, he has checkmated your correct and true observations about reality. Sorry, you can't say that. That's racist. And therefore, I am a good person and you are a bad person. Conversation over. A recent example of this comes from British talk radio station LBC, where a lady called in to speak to host Ben Kentish about her concerns about the levels of immigration and the political effect that it is having on this country.
We are so marginalised.
Hold on, you take issue with that, and yet you've just basically blamed Ron and his people for Hamas.
I think we need to be heard.
Well, sorry, I do care, Martin. Because you've just tarred an entire people, and actually an entire religion, with the actions of a tiny minority of them, and suggested that a previous caller is somehow responsible because of his race.
You're being marginalised and going to be ending up living in an Islamic state in the whole of
nonsense.
Europe.
What
no,
nonsense,
No, it is not a
Martin.
Nonsense.
It's utter
have
nonsense.
Have you seen the 19 demands that were said?
Yes, I have.
Drama?
And I've seen them
they
shut down
ridiculous.
By politicians across the spectrum. So the idea we are going to be living
tonight,
in an Islamic
Israelis
state is ludicrous.
In Athens by
stop
Arab
fear-mongering. It's
Arab.
Racist Ron and his people for Hamas.
We need to be heard.
I don't care. We need to be heard. That is the salient point that Martine is making here. She believes that the English are being marginalised in their own lands and believes we're going to be living in an Islamic state. Ben simply responds to this concern by calling it unreasonable. But is it unreasonable to think that the advance of foreign interests in Britain will also bring with it political change? I don't think so. Until last week, with the fall of Humza Yousaf, England, Wales and Scotland were ruled by ethnic minority incumbents in their top executive positions, none of whom were elected by popular mandate, and instead were installed by internal decisions within their own parties. If a person cares about representation, the lack of native British representation has to at least be on their radar. We can also look at the last set of by-elections, in which George Galloway was a winner by literally appealing to the large Muslim voting bloc in Rochdale over their concerns about the Ummah in Gaza. Is this not a demonstrable political effect? And we can see the strange advance of foreign interests in the local elections, where, like the many Muslim independent councillors who are elected, Green Party candidate Mothin Ali won his seat in Gipton and Harehills on the strength of his ethnicity, and then yelled Allahu Akbar and declared that it was a win for the people of Gaza. We know Mr. Ali is far from alone in his views because of the gargantuan pro-Palestine protests that have been marching through London because of a Semitic ethnic conflict in the Middle East, a tale as old as time and something totally alien to my concerns as an Englishman. But it's the chilling effect that is most concerning when it comes to the political arena. In February, the entire parliament was gripped with a fear of Islamic extremism, which doesn't seem unjustified if the murder of Sir David Ames is any kind of barometer that we can use to judge. Sir Lindsay Hoyle was justifiably terrified that another MP would be murdered by an Islamic extremist. A pall of fear from one particular political element of the country was palpable and directly informed the decisions of the governing class of Britain. And it's not like things are any better on the streets. When they aren't busy enriching us through the benefits office, there is the open wound of the grooming gang scandal that still persists. Only last month, another predominantly Pakistani Muslim grooming gang was sentenced to a combined 350 years for the rape of 8 young girls. We are to pretend that this isn't an ongoing problem with said community. And that's assuming you aren't simply assaulted in broad daylight by some maniac with a chainsaw also screaming Allahu Akbar, or stabbed by some urban youth wearing a mask and exuding the stench of cannabis. The country is getting more dangerous and less tolerable, and we must be able to talk about it. If you go to an area with high migration, you realise you are in a distinctly un-British place. Foreign cultures are replicating themselves on our shores, and we should at least be able to talk about it frankly and without fear, because it has serious implications for the country we are leaving to our children. We are creating a host of problems for them then by being too cowardly now to deal with these issues forthrightly. And none of this is inevitable, and we don't have to allow it. We are actually still a democracy, which means that the British people could, if they wanted, choose a party that would arrest the development of these ungovernable mini-states in Britain and reverse this process. And Ben Kentish and his ilk know this, which is why his response to the caller was this.
Racist fearmongering.
300 Arabs have
it's
been
racist
rounding up
fearmongering,
Martin.
Do you know what? You've called me to talk about the plight of minority groups and how they're being targeted. And in doing so, you've done exactly that to another minority group. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I'm not afraid. Ashamed of myself.
Well, you
I'm proud
be.
Of myself, and I'm proud of the Jewish people. And they need to stick up for themselves because most of the world is against them.
You can
them.
Stick up yourself and you can make absurd claims that we are about to become an Islamic Republic and tarnish any Arab because of the actions of Hamas, if you want. And I will say it's disgraceful, Martin, because in my view, it is. I think it's racist. I think it's Islamophobic. And as you say, for someone who has understandably felt angry and hurt because you are on the receiving end of that sort of hatred and prejudice, to just repeat it and direct it in a different direction, I think is appalling.
Ben calls it racist fearmongering, as she explains correctly what has been happening, and then he demands that she be ashamed of herself, calling her racist over and over as if he's making a point. What is Ben actually saying here when he calls her a racist? He repeatedly explains that she tarred an entire people and a religion with the actions of a tiny minority. He is accusing her of the sin of what exactly? Mischaracterization? Ben seems to believe that the act of characterization itself is a form of oppression. In his view, it seems that people are not members of groups, and groups do not share an ethos that informs the actions of its members. Therefore, to characterize a group as being responsible for the kind of people it creates is racist, as in recognizing the existence of the group and believing that people come from their communities and are influenced by their upbringing is somehow immoral. Ben never explains where he thinks people come from, if it isn't the wider community in which they were born and raised, had their values and religion inculcated into them. In Ben's view, it must be entirely coincidental that jihadi terrorists keep coming out of the Muslim community, or that the knife crime statistics in London disproportionately feature young black men who listen to music that lionizes criminality. He seems to imply that people are sprung fully formed from the ether and accidentally end up in their communities. And from this position, describing the acts of some as a product of the ethos of the whole is somehow a kind of injustice. This is apparently the tyranny of characterization that spineless liberals like Ben can't stand to hear. And it seems that, in its essence, the person using the word racist is simply accusing the other person of being insufficiently liberal. At no point does Ben question why his views on right and wrong have diverged so dramatically with reality. Instead, he becomes increasingly plaintive, hysterical, and feeble, to the point where it fails to have any effect on the discourse because it just doesn't address the issue. No longer are we discussing reality. We are discussing the desperate, strained plea that you accept the moral authority of the person condemning you. Quiet down, comply, be put back in your place. Do not complain, or else I will declare over and over that you are a bad person. But I'm not a bad person for pointing this out, and neither is anyone else who does the same. It doesn't bother me at all if you call me a racist, because you call everyone a racist all of the time. And this continual retreat from addressing reality is just the show of weakness that has brought us to this place. We actually should be free to characterize the world in the way that we see fit. It is our right to believe that people come from communities, and that communities hold values which mold the characters of the people they produce. It seems to be a perennial and inevitable truth, and it appears that the time is rapidly approaching where this truth will no longer be contained by cries that boil down to, but that's not what liberals believe. If the communities we are characterizing in this oppressive way don't like it, then perhaps they can mend their ways and stop exhibiting these terrible characteristics so we aren't able to accurately describe them in such terms, But until they do, then we will continue to characterise them in the way we feel most accurate. The future of the country is at stake. And if the Liberals don't like it, then so be it. Thanks for watching. If you'd like to support us, then you can go to lotusease.com and pay £5 a month to get access to all of our premium content and help us keep the lights on.